نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الواري الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
I think that we turn to Genesis chapter 6 and start to read. We're going to see about a certain point in history of the Bible where supernatural beings, as they're called, came down to earth and went into women and gave birth to special children. And these people mixed amongst the children of earth. And a lot of them are thought to be crazy and derelict because they just cannot adjust. Now that man is on this new evolutionary stage of consciousness, those beings are thought to be nuts. And it's sad. Now if you read it, it says, Genesis chapter 6, and it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of man that they were fair. And they took them wives of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with men, for he is but flesh, and his days shall be 120. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, what happened? The sons of God came in under the daughters of men, and they bore them what? Children, right? They bore children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, the men of renown, referred to in the Quran as Awwalin, the ancients of days, or the 24 elders who came down and mixed with women. So there are mortals walking the earth who are sons of God, women or men, and they are thought to be nuts because they cannot adjust to this system. They cannot adjust to this society. You understand? The Bible is teaching this. Now, if you want to call me crazy, I don't mind. I'm in good company. But a lot of people have never been told about this section in the Bible, right in Genesis, where it tells you that certain beings from heaven came down and mingled amongst women. The same way the angel Gabriel came down and mingled with Mary and gave birth to Jesus. Well, these beings have the same powers of Jesus. They're Christ-like. But they don't know it because they've been living amongst mortals so long that they have lost their destiny. And we are here to claim them. They are our being. They must be taken home. We're here to claim them. But we can't because they're so scattered and lost. And they're so afraid of us. They won't sit with us. They'll sit with men and sup with men. So I'm putting information out because it'll stimulate certain senses in them that'll make them realize that they belong here. Then they'll be taught, and they'll make the transition out of here. But man on earth is about to destroy himself. And it's sad that you sons of Adam are going to suffer while this demon destroys the world that you live in, and lets you garb yourself right in white and learn to be amongst the 144,000 so that you can be taken up for 1,000 years to be groomed while the devil is cast into the lower part of the earth for 1,000 years, and then you come back to a new earth. You want to read about it? Open your Bible to Revelations. Revelations 21. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem," this is that mothership. I'm not talking about the small motherships that have ships that come around that they see. The big one is called the Crystal City. It's mentioned in the Quran and the Torah. Here it is right in the Bible, called the New Jerusalem. "And I, John, saw the holy city," we call it Darul Islam in the Quran, the abode of peace. "I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem," doing what? "Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." That means the ship is ready for all of those gowned in the white, in the garb of righteousness, to be taken. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven crying, Behold the tabernacle of God." Look at the tabernacle of God. It's with man, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." That's why I told you, don't fear. "And there shall be no more death," because you'll have eternal life. We do not die in our abode. We've surpassed death. That's why I said I was around 76 years. The ability to incarnate is something that you'll learn too. We don't have death. "Neither do we have sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." We don't suffer sicknesses or diseases. "For the former things," all this wickedness and sickness and disease, "will be then passed away." Number 5. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things," what? "New." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." He wanted John to write this stuff down. This is what I'm reading to you. "And he said unto me, It is done. It's over. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is thirst of the fountain of the water of life." That means those people who are thirsty, they will be quenched. 7. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my what? My son." Like I said, first of the stage of being Christian, Jew, Muslim, and then you move on if you're ready to become a son of God or son of Allah. And in the Holy Quran, when it says Allah does not have any sons, it's using the word walid, not Evan. It means he did not conceive any children. Okay? Number 8. "But the fearful," and that's why I told you don't fear because you won't make it. "But the fearful and unbelieving," the Catholic, "and the abominable," people living in abomination, "and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers with their astrology, and the idols with their idols, and the liars who lie about Allah, and the deen, shall have their part in the lake," which is what? "Burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." What is the second death? Meaning that once man dies, the Quran says that Allah will raise him to life again to be judged. Certain men will stay into eternal life and others will be cast back into death, into hell. That's the second death. I repeat, once man dies, then he is raised to life again, the resurrection. Others will rise in the resurrection of eternal life and others will be condemned back to death in hell. Number 9, "And it came unto me one of the seven angels," and y'all know who the seven archangels are, "which had the seven vials, or the seven last plagues, and talked to me, saying, Come up hither, come hither, come up. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife," talking about the city. Told John, "Come up, I'm going to show you a glorious city." And he carried me away in the what? In the spirit. He carried me away in the spirit to a what? To a great and high mountain, and showed me what? Showed me that great city, that holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. This is that ship that's above y'all. Believe me or not, I don't care. You'll find out anyway. Number 11, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone of precious, most precious. Like I call it the crystal city, because like a stone, most precious. Even like a jasper stone, clear as what? Crystal. And had a wall, great and high. It had this enclosed in a dome, and had pillars in it. And it had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels. Half of 24. These are the cherubim that protect the gate, to keep man from entering the city. And at the gates, 12 angels. And the names were written on them. Genesis chapter 6. And start to read. We're going to see about a certain point in the history of the Bible where supernatural beings, as they're called, came down to earth and went into women and gave birth to special children. And these people mixed amongst the children of earth. And a lot of them are thought to be crazy and derelict because they just cannot adjust. Now that man is on this new evolutionary stage of consciousness, those beings are thought to be nuts. And it's sad. Now if you read it, it says, Genesis chapter 6, and it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of man, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with men, for he is but flesh, and his days shall be 120. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also, after that, what happened? The sons of God came in under the daughters of men, and they bore them what? Children. Right? They bore children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, the men of renown, referred to in the Quran as Awwalin, the ancients of days. Or the 24 elders who came down and mixed with women. So there are mortals walking the earth who are sons of God, women or men, and they are thought to be nuts because they cannot adjust to this system. They cannot adjust to this society. You understand? The Bible is teaching this. Now, if you want to call me crazy, I don't mind. I'm in good company. But a lot of people have never been told about this section in the Bible, right in Genesis, where it tells you that certain beings from heaven came down and mingled amongst women. The same way the angel Gabriel came down and mingled with Mary and gave birth to Jesus. Well, these beings have the same powers of Jesus. They're Christ-like, but they don't know it because they've been living amongst mortals so long that they have lost their destiny. And we are here to claim them. They are our being. They must be taken home. We're here to claim them. But we can't because they're so scattered and lost. And they're so afraid of us. They won't sit with us. They'll sit with men and sup with men. So I'm putting information out because it'll stimulate certain centers in them that'll make them realize that they belong here. Then they'll be taught. Then they'll make the transition out of here. But man on earth is about to destroy himself. And it's sad that you sons of Adam are going to suffer while this demon destroys the world that you live in, unless you garb yourself right in white and learn to be amongst the 144,000 so that you can be taken up for 1,000 years to be groomed while the devil is cast into the lower part of the earth for 1,000 years, and then you come back to a new earth. You want to read about it? Open your Bible to Revelations. Revelations 21. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. This is that mothership. And I'm not talking about the small mothership that have ships that come around that they see, the big ones. is called the Crystal City. It's mentioned in the Quran and the Torah. Here it is right in the Bible. Called the New Jerusalem. And I, John, saw the holy city. We call it Darul Islam in the Quran. The abode of peace. I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, doing what? Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That means the ship is ready for all of those gowned in the white, in the garb of righteousness, to be taken. And I heard a great voice out of heaven crying, behold the tabernacle of God. Look at the tabernacle of God. It's with man, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's why I told you, don't fear. And there shall be no more death, because you'll have eternal life. We do not die in our abode. We've surpassed death. That's why I say I was around 76 billion years. The ability to incarnate is something that you'll learn too. We don't have death. Neither do we have sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. We don't suffer sicknesses or diseases. For the former things, all this wickedness and sickness and disease will be then passed away. Number five. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things what? New. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He wanted John to write this stuff down. This is what I'm reading to you. And he said unto me, it is done. It's over. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is thirst of the fountain of the water of life. That means those people who are thirsty, they will be quenched. Seven, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my what? My son, like I said, Jesus, first is the stage of being Christian, Jew, Muslim, and then you move on if you're ready to become a son of God or son of Allah. And in the Holy Quran, when it says Allah does not have any sons, it's using the word walid, not Eben. It means he did not conceive any children. Okay? Number eight. But the fearful, and that's why I told you don't fear because you won't make it. But the fearful. And unbelieving, the Catholic, and the abominable, people living in abomination, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers with their astrology, and the idols with their idols, and the liars who lie about Allah, and the deen, shall have their part in the lake, which is what? Burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What is the second death? Meaning that once man dies, the Quran says that Allah will raise him to life again to be judged. Certain men will stay into eternal life and others will be cast back into death, into hell. That's the second death. I repeat, once man dies, then he is raised to life again, the resurrection. Others will rise in the resurrection of eternal life and others will be condemned back to death in hell. Number nine, and it came unto me, one of the seven angels, and y'all know who the seven archangels are, which had the seven vials, or the seven last plagues, and talked to me, saying, come up hither, come hither, come up. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife, talking about the city. So John, come up, I'm going to show you a glorious city. And he carried me away in the what? In the spirit. He carried me away in the spirit to a what? To a great and high mountain. And showed me what? Showed me that great city, that holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. This is that ship that's above y'all. Believe me or not, I don't care. You'll find out anyway. Number 11. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone of precious, most precious, like I call it the crystal city, because like a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as what? Crystal. and had a wall great and high. It had extended clothes in a dome that had pillars in it. It had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, half of 24. These are the cherubim to protect the gates, to keep man from entering the city. And at the gates, 12 angels, and the names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Each one of these angels symbolized one of the tribes of Israel, which is backed up by Ezekiel 48, 31, and 34, if you have time to read that later. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. They are describing a ship.
Salaam alaikum. When they speak of in the book of Revelation 20, verse 4, about the 1,000-year period, is that of the same duration of our days?
Read the section you're talking about.
And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of Allah, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
And the question is, brother?
You know, the question is those days, 1,000 years, of the same duration of our days that we live?
Yes. Yes, they are, but in this respect. When they say lived and reigned, you're talking about the Marillion. Lived and reigned with Messiah for 1,000 years, they mean not here. They mean in the crystal city. What they speak about is a new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven having 24 elders surrounding it. That is an actual, what you might call, space station from here. That's a crystal city in the Quran referred to as Darul Islam, the abode of peace. Darul Islam in the Quran is not on earth. You follow? And so now, yes, these 144,000 will be lifted from earth, taken up like the scripture says, Isa and Maryam went up, and Rasulullah Muhammad went up in the Isra, and Elias went up, and Enoch or Idris went up.
Mm-hmm.
These elders, these 23 elders, will take 144,000 perfect beings here up, and they will reside in the crystal city for 1,000 years to be taught by what you refer to as extraterrestrials or the masters who have been visiting the pyramids for thousands of years. And that 1,000-year period can be a duration of either 1,000 by your time or 1,000 by their time. By that I mean, when you break the speed of light, which is necessary to get out of Earth's atmosphere, we know light travels 186,272 feet per second.
Mm-hmm.
When you break the speed of light, time starts to slow up at a certain point. So to travel intergalactically from one part of a galaxy to the next, you would not lose a second. In fact, you can become younger when you arrive there. The same way you can travel from one side of your planet to the next and be behind time. You can leave on Thursday and arrive on Wednesday the same week. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
That's because of a time belt here. That's one law of time. There, galactically, the solar system has a time belt by distance. When you break a certain speed, then you reverse in time. Meaning that when Nabi Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, Moses, left from Mount Moriah with the aid of the angels and went on to Malakut, which is referred to in the Quran as the heavens, the Mawad of Allah. Mm-hmm. When he went there, by the time he got to the other side, he was the same exact age, one day, which would have taken 1,000 years of earth time to get that far. Because, like I said, light travels at 186,272 feet per second.
Right.
And a light year there with times 365 would be 5 trillion miles away. This particular galaxy alone, Kira, to another side, it can take 1,000 years of your time. Which means Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, would have become 1,000 years old by the time he got to the destination. You see?
Mm-hmm.
But when he breaks speed, when he arrives, he's the exact same age. when he returned him and Elijah to Jesus to meet him, they were still the same age, though Elijah had left over 4,000 years before him, and Moses another 4,000 and came back at Jesus' time another 2. You see what I'm saying? So there's a time belt. It depends on where you are. And I chose you because I'll give you a perfect example. If you look from Seattle, Washington to Florida, the higher you get, the smaller it becomes. Until it moves from miles to yards to inches to fractions of an inch until the United States becomes a dot.
Mm-hmm.
So the distance it would take mentally to travel from Seattle, Washington to Florida is less than a second. Then the higher you go, it's so short the distance that you can't conceive it because you merely see a dot. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So there's different time belts depending on which angle you're looking from. So the answer to your question is, like it says in the scripture, 1,000 years could be one day and one day could be like under 1,000 years. It depends on where that spirit is going. And now in the view of these children, they're talking about 1,000-year period, which will give y'all the 7,000 year. Because the devil's reign is up in the 6,000th year, which is really the 2,000th year of this new form calendar that he made. Because from canon of the Torah down to Isa el Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, was 4,000 years. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus the Messiah became the year one, which is an obvious contradiction because they say 1 BC and then number 2 is 2 AD. So either Jesus died at the age of 2 or somebody made a mistake in their calendar. Because if it's BC before Christ and then AD Anno Dominus after Christ on 2, then there's something wrong. Okay, mm-hmm. But let's move on. At number 1, the year 1 started one of the new Christian calendar. With 4,000 years added on that, we'd now be in the year 5,000, right?
Right.
987. Correct?
Yes.
Leaving us how much before 2,000? How much before 6,000, for that matter? Now listen, if this is 1,900
about 13
and 87 year, right? How many more would make it 2,000?
13.
That's right.
Yes.
So now, you are at the end of the devil's 2,000 year, which is equivalent to 6,000 year from his Adam. And his Adam was canon in Noah's time, with the one with the curse of leprosy, which made him albino, or white in complexion, as found in the books of Leviticus 13 and 14 when they received the curse.
Mm-hmm.
His rule is up. Like Elijah Muhammad was telling people, his rule is up in the year 6,000, which starts 1,000 before the seventh day of creation is complete. Can you understand that?
Yeah, I understand.
Which gives you one more 1,000th year to prepare before the time allotted to humane beings is through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. Shukran.
You said black people didn't have souls anymore. That they was
say what?
Black people. That they was becoming
black people.
Black.
Oh, okay.
they was becoming evil and they didn't have souls. And I wanted to know how you can tell, you know, what are the characteristics from the people changing.
The whole emotional state of black people has changed from familyism, as you would have it, to individualism. Everything is about themselves, which makes them more accessible to drugs, because drugs is a personal experience. I don't care if you're in a crowd of 20 people. The moment you inhale crack or inject heroin, you are then an individual for the moment. The stimulant is individual. 50 people in a room taking the drugs, each one becomes an individual. We have now become, like the devil, attracted to our individualism and lost our tribal and community environment. We have went to a tribal people, and that meant that when you people are in that, like in that room out there, in a newcomer's class, there's people there sitting there that won't even look at each other.
where they interact with each other emotionally. They'll come in this class and sit here from 1 o'clock until 6, and don't even, at the end of the class, walk up and say, well, because we all have the same interests, but the fact that we're here, what's your name? My name is this, and I'm reading such and such a book, and so and so, what do you know that? They will begin to react and communicate and help each other. Everybody sitting there is an individual. They have a God written out as they can. To either convince themselves to come in or wait for the mistake that they'll never find so they don't have to come in. The only reason for sitting here hoping one thing he can't answer. You'll never find the question that can't be answered. I've been doing this for more years than your great-grandmothers were born. And I've been asked any question y'all can imagine. So if you came here to hope I can't answer the question, you're in for a big letdown, so you might as well be prepared. And so they're not interact with each other. They're sitting there, they won't even look at each other at times. They won't smile at each other. We come in, we have this frown on our face when we're on the subway. We have this frown on our face when we walk down the street. We have this frown on our face when we get to our jobs. We have to learn to interact with each other and learn to care for each other. With this absence of community or tribal relationship, we are a tribe, you know. Without this tribal tie and without this relationship, there's an absence of what do you call soul. And then the new generation of young kids, you look at the new generation and look at the way they dance, the way they move, what they call hip-hop. It's all offbeat, all off.
Assalamu alaikum. When they speak of in the book of Revelation 20, verse 4, about the thousand-year period, is that of the same duration of our days?
Read the section you're talking about.
And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of Allah, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
And the question is, brother?
You know, the question is those days, 1,000 years, is of the same duration of our days that we live?
Yes. Yes, they are, but in this respect, when they say lived and reigned, you're talking about the Marillion, lived and reigned with Messiah for 1,000 years, they mean not here. They mean in the Crystal City. What they speak about is a new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven, having 24 elders surrounding it. That is an actual, what you might call, space station from here. That's a crystal city in the Quran referred to as Darul Islam, the abode of peace. Darul Islam in the Quran is not on earth. You follow? And so now, yes, these 144,000 will be lifted from earth, taken up like the scripture says, Isa and Maryam went up, and Rasulullah Muhammad went up in the Isra, and Elias went up, and Enoch or Idris went up.
Mm-hmm.
These elders, these 23 elders, will take 144,000 perfect beings here up, and they will reside in the Crystal City for 1,000 years to be taught by what you refer to as extraterrestrials or the masters who have been visiting the pyramids for thousands of years. And that 1,000-year period can be a duration of either 1,000 by your time or 1,000 by their time. By that I mean, when you break the speed of light, which is necessary to get out of Earth's atmosphere, we know light travels 186,272 feet per second.
Mm-hmm.
When you break the speed of light, time starts to slow up at a certain point. So to travel intergalactically from one part of a galaxy to the next, you would not lose a second. In fact, you can become younger when you arrive there. The same way you can travel from one side of your planet to the next and be behind time. You can leave on Thursday and arrive there on Wednesday the same week. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
That's because of a time belt here. That's one law of time. There, galactically, the solar system has a time belt by distance. When you break a certain speed, then you reverse in time. Meaning that when Nabi Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, Moses, left from Mount Moriah with the aid of the angels and went on to Malakut, which is referred to in the Quran as the heavens, Samawat of Allah. When he went there, by the time he got to the other side, he was the same exact age, one day, which would have taken 1,000 years of Earth time to get that far, because, like I said, light travels at 186,272 feet per second.
Right.
And a light year there with times 365 would be 5 trillion miles away. This particular galaxy alone, Kira, to another side, it can take 1,000 years of your time, which means Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, would have became 1,000 years old by the time he got to the destination. You
mm-hmm.
see?
Mm-hmm.
But when he breaks speed, when he arrives, he's the exact same age. When he returned, him and Elijah, to Jesus, to meet him, they were still the same age, though Elijah had left over 4,000 years before him, and Moses another 4,000, and came back at Jesus' time another 2. You see what I'm saying? So there's a time, though. It depends on where you are. And that shows you, because I'll give you a perfect example. If you look from Seattle, Washington to Florida, the higher you get, the smaller it becomes, until it moves from miles to yards to inches to fractions of an inch until the United States becomes a dot.
Mm-hmm.
So the distance it would take mentally to travel from Seattle, Washington to Florida is less than a second. Then the higher you go, it's so short the distance that you can't conceive it because you merely see a dot. Do you understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yes.
So there's different time belts depending on which angle you're looking from. So the answer to your question is, like it says in the scripture, 1,000 years could be one day, and one day could be like 100,000 years. It depends on where that spirit is going. And now, in the view of these children, they're talking about 1,000-year period, which will give y'all the 7,000 year. Because the devil's reign is up in the 6,000th year, which is really the 2,000th year of this new form calendar that he made. Because from canon of the Torah down to Isa el-Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, was 4,000 years. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus the Messiah became the year 1, which is an obvious contradiction, because they say 1 B.C. and then number 2 is 2 A.D. So either Jesus died at the age of 2 or somebody made a mistake in their calendar. Because if it's B.C. before Christ and then A.D. Anno Dominus after Christ on 2, then there's something wrong. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But let's move on. At number 1, the year 1 started one of the new Christian calendar. With 4,000 years added on that, we'd now be in the year 5,000, right?
Right.
987. Correct?
Yes.
Leaving us how much before 2,000? How much before 6,000, for that matter? Now listen, if this is 1,900
about 13
and 87 year, right? How many more would make it 2,000?
13.
That's right.
Yeah.
So now, you are at the end of the devil's 2,000 year, which is equivalent to 6,000 year from his Adam. And his Adam was canon in Noah's time, with the one with the curse of leprosy, which made him albino, or white in complexion, as found in the books of Leviticus 13 and 14 when they received the curse.
Mm-hmm.
His rule is up. Like Elijah Muhammad was telling people, his rule is up in the year 6,000, which starts 1,000 before the seventh day of creation is complete. Can you understand that?
Yeah, I understand.
Which gives you one more 1,000th year to prepare before the time allotted to humane beings is through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. Shukran.
You said black people didn't have souls anymore, that they was...
Say what?
Black people, that they was becoming...
Light people?
Black.
Oh, sorry.
they was becoming evil and they didn't have souls, and I wanted to know how you can tell, you know, what are the characteristics from the people changing.
The whole emotional state of black people has changed from familyism, as you would have it, to individualism. Everything is about themselves, which makes them more accessible to drugs, because drugs is a personal experience. I don't care if you're in a crowd of 20 people. The moment you inhale crack,
or inject her, and you are then an individual for the moment. The stimulant is individual. If 50 people in a room taking the drugs, each one becomes an individual. We have now become like the devil, attracted to our individualism and lost our tribal and community environment. We have gone to a tribal people, and that meant that when you people are in that, like in that room out there, in a newcomer's class, there's people there sitting there that won't even look at each other. Won't even interact with each other emotionally. They'll come in this class and sit there from 1 o'clock until 6, and don't even at the end of the class walk up and say, well, because we all have the same interests for the fact that we're here, what's your name? My name is this, and I'm reading such and such a book, and so and so, where do you live at? Maybe we can interact and communicate and help each other. Everybody sitting there is an individual. They don't have a God written out as they can for themselves to either convince themselves to come in or wait for the mistake that they'll never find so they don't have to come in. The only thing is sitting here hoping one thing he can't answer. You'll never find the question he can't be answered. I've been doing this for more years than your great-grandmothers were born. And I've been asked any question y'all can imagine. So if you came here to hope I can't answer the question, you're in for a big letdown. So you finally look prepared. And so they're not interact with each other. They're sitting there, they won't even look at each other at times. They won't smile at each other. We come in, we have this frown on our face when we're on the subway. We have this frown on our face when we walk down the street. We have this frown on our face when we get to our jobs. We have to learn to interact with each other and learn to care for each other. With this absence of community or tribal relationship, we are a tribe, you know. Without this tribal tie and without this tribal relationship, there's an absence of, what do you call, soul. And then the new generation of young kids, you look at the new generation and look at the way they dance, the way they move, what they call hip-hop. It's all offbeat, all off.
Saying they're Muslim out their mouth and not living up to what their heart know they should be doing.
And on that program last week, they were talking about the UFOs, and they said that they had captured a few of the aliens, and they gave them a place over in Nevada. I was wondering, are these extraterrestrial beings, are they good ones, or why would they...
I'll tell you this. Extraterrestrials are now communicating with Amorites or the Canaanites because you have no power, and y'all don't want to change. They've been trying to convert y'all for the last 50 years. They sent all Elijah Muhammad. What's the first thing Farrakhan said when he came back from Libya? I saw the honor of Elijah Muhammad in a UFO. Right? That's what Farrakhan taught, that he saw the messenger in a UFO. What is the messenger teach? There's a mothership, a mother plane. And all of them are teaching the same thing I'm teaching all the ones that know. Them Sunnis don't know what they talk about. They talk about some God in heaven. They're talking Christianity. The ones who know are talking to you about extraterrestrials. And are y'all listening to the extraterrestrials? No. Are y'all listening to Minister Louis Farrakhan? No. Did you listen to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? No. But Malcolm X, y'all listen to him. Somebody went over there and got brainwashed by the devil. You know what I'm saying? So y'all are acting the extraterrestrials to communicate with y'all, but then you don't want to communicate with them. And I want to ask a question. But the brother asked me, why do we keep Malcolm X's picture on the wall? Correct? If we don't agree with things he said. I don't agree with everything Marcus Garvey said either. I don't agree with everything that a lot of people say. I don't agree with everything Noble Drew Ali said either. But these were still prominent black leaders. And in some form or fashion was affiliated with Islam. And I think our children should need the black example so we teach them about these different people. So I don't have to agree with your philosophy to respect you. I can respect you for who you are without agreeing with everything you teach. You understand what I'm trying to say? So I respect Malcolm X as the articulate speaker he was, and about his initial goals to help black people. I respect that, and I will teach my sons about that part of his nature. I'm not going to go into how he went bad in that class. That's for us adults who know better. You get what I'm saying? So the white man will eliminate all of our black people. He made Malcolm X look bad to the nation of Islam, and he made the Elijah Muhammad look bad to the people who followed Malcolm X. So what happens in the long run, two black images is pulled down, and another white image. They'll never take them based off $7 bills of their leaders. But they figure out a way by the time one of our black leaders leave for us always to dislike it and pull his picture down so that we don't have no black images. But they will keep, they got people on the dollar bill that's been on there for George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and you understand what I'm saying? They will keep their images in our minds for the periodic purposes. So that's why I'll keep that picture on the wall. But I will teach them about the good things that Malcolm X said did. And when he got weak and fell victim to the devil, that can happen to anybody. Understand my feelings in that way.
The soup order that deals with the...
That's the baby stage of it.
So, and females can go into that?
There's no difference between a male and a female in the law side, only in the side of men, who want to keep women feeling that they're some kind of form of inferiority. In the spiritual realm, women are just as great as men.
Because I know I spoke to certain people, and I said certain things, I was saying certain things I felt, and what everybody feels that way. But I
probably with some male.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a plunge. The men don't want to think of y'all as better than them or as equal as them. But then you'll be able to question that man. If you ever peel the skin of manhood off of most of the American black men, you're going to find a naked woman. You know what I'm saying? When you get right down to it, a lot of them are scared. The white man has intimidated them. He has castrated them. He has made them, you know, he's taking the best part of the black man away. And he's left nothing but a frail woman because we work for the white man. We work under him. We yes sir him. We no sir him. We ain't number women. And then when our women get mad, go marry the white man, we get mad. Why is that sister walking with a white man? Because average black man is smiling and showing his teeth. You understand? And if a nation of men like ourselves were caught trying to become self, trying to identify with our blackness and our heritage, we become some revolutionists or some subversives. And the first thing your mother comes out of my window, they're a cunt. I'm a cunt because I don't want to be bugging my eyes and soft-shoeing. I got to be a cunt. You understand what I'm saying? The white man is not satisfied until he has castrated our manhood from us. And your mother and them think they're saying something great when they call us a cult. All they're doing is encouraging me to look like some white boy. So our black men, we got to get ourselves together. We got to make a mark. We got to do something. Like Unlike Mama said, we got to do for self. We got to build our own. And you got to stop serving that white man. I'm about to spies up in there who are sent out here to tap us. You better wake up. Because after they finish using you against me and I'm gone, then they're going to eliminate you. And their whole purpose is to keep Malcolm X down, keep black Panthers down, keep young lords down, keep black Muslims down. They don't want us to follow Malcolm X. They don't want us to follow Noble Drew Ali. They don't want us to follow Sheikh Daoud. They don't want us to follow Ahmadinejad Muhammad. I mean, and that's the serious problem. And every time they call us a cult, you add the next couple of letters on. And what are those letters? Culture. When they say cult, you say you mean culture. That group is a cult. You say, no, you mean a culture. Because we are affiliated with a people who have been there for thousands of years. This ain't no cult made up in America. This is the custom, the dress, the dance, the marriage ceremony, the birth ceremony, the language, everything you're taught as an Ansar law has existed before Billy Graham and all of these Christian preachers came about this organization thriving. That we're not no cult, we are a culture. And white men don't want a black man to have any culture except what he taught him. And that's the Ben Marinite. And I ain't gonna be no Sammy Davis Jr. for nobody. Now, I'm gonna sound crazy to you because you like straightening your hair and then talk about you black. I'm black, I'm with black people. What's that got to do with me having straightening comb in my hair? It has to do with the fact that you see yourself as ugly when you straighten your hair. When you straighten your nose, it means that you see your hair. Well, my hair is too thick to comb. Who you fooling? Your hair is too thick to comb. That ain't for me. That's the way you want to look white. Let's be for real. And if you get mad at me, I'm sorry. I'm going to call it as I see it. You want to be white. They don't start saying my hair is too thick to comb. Then braid it. That takes too much time. Then say you're lazy. Don't take. That's too hard to take care of. You know, you understand? I heard black people say, when my hair is natural, it falls out. You know what I'm saying? That means you never had no hair because the day you was born, by the time you got 12, you wouldn't have no hair, it would have fell off. You mean you got a full head of hair, then you comped it, and then it started falling out. And now you can't wait for it to go back because you don't want to cut it too short. Get you a short, natural, take care of your scalp, and let your natural hair come back in and stop making statements to the white man that we think we're ugly. Because every time you see some sister standing there grinning with her hair all processed, she's saying things we're ugly. Stop weaving dead people's hair in your hair so you can get Shirley Temple-length hair. Blonde, fake Indian hair, dead people's hair weaved into your hair so you can look like white people. Stop doing that stuff because you're telling the white man that you think being black is ugly. You think you're not proud of being yourself. And meanwhile, the white man is curling his hair, tanning himself, trying to look as black as he can, injecting stuff in his lips to get lips. White women are getting shots in the butt so they can grow a butt. how black women are putting, weaving dead people there and putting on light powder. Tell your black women got light powder on their face, the old black neck sticking up there. Black. The whole face is light skin, the neck is chocolate color. I mean, got all this drinking going burning. Please stop trying to look like a white woman, because we are the most beautiful people in the world. We don't need makeup, we got natural blush. Ain't nobody like us. Like Elijah Muhammad said, black can create any race, and no race can create blacks. Anybody comes from us. Be proud of who you are and what you look like. And let him know you're proud of it. Say, this is me. If you can't deal with me for what I am, and if your man looks at you and sees you with your hair natural and sees you as ugly, you got the wrong man. He's sending for you, but he's looking at you and seeing you as a white woman. You see? If he has to look at you and if your hair, shoulder length, and straight, say, darling, you pretty. What he's really saying is, darling, the white woman is pretty. You're doing a pretty good job of looking like her. He ain't saying that you're pretty. If he looked at you in the morning when stuff is rough and says, you still my baby, then he sees you as pretty. Y'all better wake up, because time is running out on us. The white man got statements being made, and those statements are being made by us. And we think we're ugly. We think we'll never be nothing. We think we're in the ghetto. We think we're the lowest of the low. We can't get nothing done. We got to get together, and we got to get together fast. If you're here and y'all are waiting for the Messiah, Jesus, to come, I want to tell you, you really think y'all will have faith in combs in heaven? Y'all really think on Sunday morning in heaven y'all will be in front of a mirror pressing your hair to go to church? You're going to be natural one day anyway, dear. So why don't you come on and get ready now? Because the day is coming, the Messiah is close. You can see the time folded and the Messiah is close. And no, I am.
Exactly what you were talking about. That's the way
I. You have to come closer to the mic because there's a distortion.
Okay. That's the way I've been feeling like.
Well, you found your way home. You remember that movie? Close Encounter,
yeah.
How them people were obsessed with being there.
Yeah.
Certainly y'all people are obsessed with the book. It's like a drug to you. Once you got one book, you started going, oh my goodness. And you read another book, and another book, and you become, I don't feel like going to the Anthropology Law Community, I got something to do. Next, you know, you're sitting up here anyway. I really can't go over there. I can't be so bothered. I'm going to find one of the brothers on the street to talk to him. I got to go to work. I'm going to stay here and talk to him just a little bit longer. You understand? You know you're looking at your watch. I got to be to work at 10 o'clock. Here it is. A quarter to 10, you're still talking to brother and wife. Standing there. Something about you keep pulling you to them. They say a white man know what encounters of a third kind is. Because he remembered the first encounter was when the masters came down. The second encounter is when Jesus came down. And he knew the third encounter would be when the mothership comes. He knows what he's talking about. And he knows that inside y'all is a drive to find your way back to the ship. It's something inside that's driving you. And those books got some magic power in them that makes you keep going back to the next book. Another book out. Another book out. You're writing, you're marking, you're scribbling, you're checking. You're saying, dang, I found a form. Let me check this out. Come here, swear you got it. And I make the thing you think is so complicated sound so simple. You got it all figured out. I got it now. They made a mistake. You come, Imam. I heard those and I say, that's not what it says. Look, you go, okay, back out. 15 more books later, here you are again with another law argument. I got another one for you. Whose time are you wasting? You know where you belong? Your soul is pulling you to the tabernacle, and your body is pulling you away. Let your body win, and you're going to eternal damnation. Let your soul win, and you're going to everlasting life. When they say everlasting life, my sons and daughters, all it means is when you get out of the earth's atmosphere where the Heavenly Father has created suns and moons to control time, you move into an eternal time system. You only have these time systems when you're trapped in the Earth's atmosphere, so 100 years seems like a long time. When you move outside of this sun, moon, and star, this galaxy, time is much, much more broader, and what you call one day could be 1,000 years. That's eternal life. I hope that's understood. Go ahead.
Why are we going up in space? What is the point?
They're trying to get out of here. They realize that the ozone layer is gone. They realize that the insects are increasing, the diseases are increasing, that, you know, the drugs are increasing, and the white man wants out. He wants to get back to Saturn. He wants out of here. That's why he can spend all that money to try to throw rockets in space and ain't spending that money trying to cure diseases or hunger. So a person is spending money on their transportation while their house is burning down, that means they're planning on doing what? Leaving, point blank. So the white man is trying to get out of here because he sees that this planet, Kira, is about to destroy itself, going to self-destruct. And he wants out. Point blank. Simple as that. That's why he's calling them shuttles. A shuttle is to take you from one place to the next. Correct? He wants out. He's going to leave black people here to destroy themselves.
And what about the satellite world for?
Communication. Because they need to communicate from interplanetary communication. A satellite is like a telephone, a wireless telephone. Only instead of sending down just FM frequencies for speech, they can send down patterns for sound, color, and they can beam up images. The white man is seriously right now trying to figure out ways to alter DNA, to, you know, because he got this from extraterrestrials, and to transport your DNA to a hologram and project you into another galaxy, another dimension, and then send your chemistry after that, and you'll, what he called, beam there. He's working on that. Extraterrestrials do it now. He don't have it, and they won't give it to him. So what he's doing is trying to get up there using satellites to monitor different communications that extraterrestrials have from ship to ship, but he can't translate it anyway because they have a crystal translator. He don't know nothing about it.
I like them. Do you have worship services like churches?
Yes, we do.
Could you tell me what
day? Every day, 5 times a day we pray, and then Friday is the assembly day when everybody comes.
And what time?
On Friday, 1 o'clock.
And the rest of it is on Saturday too?
Every day. And there's a book on it called a prayer book. Make sure they give you a copy or a page they can let you have free. It tells you all the different times of prayer.
Do you have to wear any certain kind of clothing?
Yes, you should be dressed in white because it's the garb the angels always appearing. It's the garb that Jesus appeared in. It's the garb that the angels appeared to Jesus in. The garb that Moses wore. So it's similar, you know, going before the Lord dressed properly as Jesus mentioned in Matthew, right? About being prepared for the bride at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a specific garb, a white robe. Well, if you don't have one.
Well, I don't know how to make it. You
so
have to
tell the people outside, I said when you go outside, you can have one, the gift.
In reference to seraphim and cherubim, just as maybe the seraphim so that you might be a good angel.
You have to speak with the story.
Okay. In reference to a seraphim and cherubim.
A seraphim and a cherubim, yeah.
Okay. Just like the seraphim might know that you might be a good angel, just like do the devil also know that you want to be, will they also try to pull you a different way?
Yes, but how they do it is through your hollow, your aura. See, when you think negative in your inside, there's lights around your body that changes color. And when these evil demons, they see this aura changing, these evil suggestions around you, they're magnetically drawn toward that. And they don't have to hover above your head, but 3 seconds to 3 minutes when they can figure out how your brain waves work and assimilate themselves into your physical composition and from there on start influencing you to start doing negative things.
Like that I received letters from people saying that they looked up my sign and my time of birth and things. They want me, in one place downtown, they wanted me to come and to test me out, and they said not to tell to anybody about this.
You'd be crazy if you went.
Oh, I wouldn't go.
No. Send it back the letter and say, and put on the letter, ha, 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 and send it back.
And also, will they work through your children?
Huh?
Will the cherubims also the devil work through your children?
Yes, they will. If they can't get to you, they will get to your parents. They'll get to your kids. They'll get to your pet. They'll do anything they can to get you.
Even though you have like a person that you know might be a Muslim and they also will talk again?
The word Muslim don't mean nothing if it ain't coming from the heart and practice. A lot of people say they're Muslim, but then you turn around and see if they pray 5 times a day. You know, I'm a Muslim, but I don't pray because I don't think that's necessary. I'm a Muslim. I don't live in a community because I don't like what they do. I'm a Muslim. I don't wear no veil because I don't think that. Then you ain't no Muslim. A Muslim wears certain things the Quran says. A Muslim does certain things. If you don't, listen, if you don't have a badge and you don't have a gun and a blue suit and you're not registered with the penal system, you ain't no cop. You can walk around telling people you're a cop all you feel like. I'm a cop. I got a gun. I wouldn't grow the badge, but they'll get you for impersonation. And on Yom Akhri, more people are going to be gotten for impersonating Muslims than they're going to get for being sinners. Those impersonators are the ones going to really take hell. Saying they're Muslims out their mouth and not living up to what their hearts know they should be doing.
This thing going on with the Sunnis and the Ansars with the brother Bilal.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. There would be no conflict between the Ansars and the Sunni had they not wrote a book about us. Our focus at the time, and everybody knows and remembers, was on trying to straighten up the lies about Jesus the Messiah. He was writing a series of books about Christianity. I had never written a book specifically geared at attacking the mistakes of Sunni Muslims ever. Your father, I've written books on multiple subjects, but never once have I sat down and said, ask the Sunni Muslim this, ask the Sunni Muslim that. Check into their communities, check into their lifestyle, check into their diets, check into their dress codes. You follow?
Yes.
Or check into someone's personal life or into their family or who their kids are and who their wives or wife is. I never did that. I mean, there's times that I wanted to, but I said the devil, the white man, would love to see two black organizations, though they don't consider themselves black. They really don't. They consider themselves Arabs. But they would like to see two black people battling. They want to see me and Minister Louis Farrakhan go at it. They won't see that. I won't ever go up against Minister Louis Farrakhan as long as he's trying to do things for black people. They want to see me and Clarence 13X or his followers, the 5%, go at it. They won't see that. That's not the game I play. Follow that?
Yes.
But the moment an Orthodox Sunni Muslim starts trying to pretend he's not African, trying to pretend he's not black because he's found some new love in Saudi Arabia with some red Arabs, then I'm upset. But when they start trying to teach that the Prophet Muhammad was a white man, when everybody knows he was a black man of Sudanese descent, and then they push out pictures all over. See, most Sunni Muslims have never traveled, so they don't know in the white Arab world, they do push pictures of the Prophet Muhammad and on his successors and different men in the Bible as white. You follow? Not to mention they have certain hadith by a man named Bukhari. It says the Prophet Muhammad is white. I will not teach that garbage and that stupidity to my children, nor yours. You follow?
Yes,
and if I was going to direct questions at them, here's the kind of questions I would direct at a Sunni Muslim if they wanted to debate. Do you worship the black stone or not? Yes or no? Of course, they will say they don't worship the black stone. And I will then say, in what direction do you pray five times a day? They'll say Mecca. I'll ask them, is the black stone in that direction? They would have to say yes. Then I'll ask them again, do you worship the black stone or not? They again would say no, because we only pray through it. Then I would ask them, well, on pilgrimage to Mecca, do you kiss this black stone that is in the direction of the east in which you pray five times a day? They would have to answer yes. I will ask them again, do you worship the black stone? Follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
They're not ready for questions like this. Because the bottom line is, if you analyze the Orthodox Sunni faith, they come out people worshiping a black stone. But that's not as drastic as this. Ask one of them, why is the black stone black? And they will tell you, because of the sins of evil people who have kissed it or touched it over the years. They say the angel Gabriel brought the black stone down from heaven and it was white. Now this is what the Orthodox Sunni Muslims teach. And it was a white stone. And because people kissed it, their evils went into it and it turned black. Are y'all following me thus far? Now if you stop at that point and say, excuse me, brother, are you saying that evil and sin is black? Again, the Sunni Muslim will say no. He said, did you say that the black stone was once white? They'll say yes. Did you say that sins of evil people, when kissing and touching it, went into it and turned it black? They'd have to say yes again. And then if you say again, are you saying that sins and evils are black? They'd say no. Do you understand what just happened?
Yeah.
If the black stone turned black because of the sins and the evils of people, ask them, why would y'all drape the Kaaba in a black drape and not a white drape if black is synonymous with evil? And then any Orthodox Sunni Muslim who is of African descent with black skin who digests that rhetoric and still faces the Kaaba five times a day and goes to Mecca and kisses a black stone when the white Arab is telling him that black is evil, something is wrong with them. You understand? They need help. Because somewhere along the line, someone has them thinking that black is evil, black is sin. Let me do this again, okay? For you to teach that the black stone in Mecca is black because someone kissed it who was evil and their sins went into it and turned it from white to black is to tell me that black is sin and evil. Are y'all with me? You hear that? Now, if I'm a black man, I'm standing in front of the Kaaba, and a black stone, by the way, is not black. It's brown like you. The color of the black stone is brown. I've stood in front of it in Mecca. It's not black like the black of, you know, like the color black. It's brown like the average black person's complexion. For a pale Arab to teach me, a black man with brown skin, that the black stone was turned from white to black because of sins of evil people, you realize what he's telling you about yourself? And then for me to go to Mecca and acknowledge that as a black man, there's got to be something wrong with me. The lights are on, but nobody's home inside my head. You follow?
Yes, sir.
So the conflict that the Ansar Allah community has predominantly with the Sunni Muslims are simple questions like that that they don't have answers for. You think you're fighting against me, another man like you, made of mud like you. You follow? Mm-hmm. You think that's who you're wrestling against, and you're not. You're wrestling against a higher force. The pen that writes the books for y'all is not me. I, like I say in all the books, of my own accord, could not do this. You know what's so funny? Again, Orthodox Sunni Muslims say, oh, I know Imam Isa when he first took his Shahada in State Street. That's one of the things they say. I remember him before he was a Muslim, except they got a whole bunch of this rhetoric. And then they don't look at the book and say, well, if this man took his Shahada then, that's the first time he was exposed to Islam, how did he manage to accumulate all of this information in that little bit of time? When they can't, none of their imams can. Their best can't. You follow? The point is, I am nothing but a piece of mud. The message that's coming to you people is coming through me, not from me. I am oftentimes shocked by the books myself when I proofread them. And the information that flows and how it matches up and the predictions that come true. Like I said, last year, they had an argument. The funny thing about it, the book was finished before the California earthquake. The California earthquake had been predicted years before it happened, right? When I finished the book, I said, as far as the earthquake in California, it has not happened as of yet, if you read that in the rebuttal book. Now, it has happened twice since then. You follow?
Yes.
Now, I couldn't have made the earthquake in California myself. There's no way in the world I could have caused an earthquake in California to happen twice. All I could do is tell you what is coming through me as the true light of Allah. When I say as, I'm not saying I am the true light of Allah. Don't misinterpret me. I'm saying my pen is guided by the masters, the elders. Because some American Negro or Jamaican-born Muslim has not had the experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost, Ruhu Qudus, as would be in Logodan Arabiya, being filled with that holy soul. They have not been touched by anything divine speaking to them. Thus, everybody who says they were has to be crazy. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said he saw the mothership. He spoke to the elders. The Orthodox Sunni Muslims say he's crazy because they didn't have the experience. Nobu Juwali, the founder of the Morris Science Temple, said the same thing. They say he's crazy. Right? Again, it happens. I say, I've seen the mothership, been upon it, a member of the circle of the elders, and the divine is sending messages to you through me. Not me. I'm not doing it. You understand? Let me repeat that. I am not doing it. Coming through me to you, I have to be crazy.
Back then, and if that K in the Greek got it changed into a G, and that Right? I said it with geometry, geometry, etc., etc. All that applies to that simple word key, our ancient thing, which I said before was tied into Egyptians, got it from the ancient Sumer people, ran into that area. When the son of Ham's son, after the flood, moved over into Egypt and brought over the culture that was once over, and this is that's why you find over amongst the Sumer people that fake fish, that bull and that and that bull. They have the needles, obviously, the bureaucratic needles, and the temples constructed the same way, architects constructed, they use a date stone in front of their temples, and the ancient Babylon, which is where they came for that time. Right there, you can see the temple that's constructed with the tournament like that. And so the knowledge was really greater in Sumer and older, and then went over into Egypt as the same people, and then Egypt became a mountain top for Africa. So there's various different degrees of people. And now the Negroes go back so long ago, and this is way before prophecy was heard through the people. This is the prophecy thing. Millions of years. Got my mind. So Negroes is a question about who are these people. They were talking about the fact that they longed for the day that the elders would select their people off the planet. But remember, a year ago is when they actually started planning the breeding of a being called Adam. And they called him Adam because Adam, you know, from the original language, Adam meant earthling or of the ground, of the red, or the special chicken, right, to be a worker for them. But they had been coming here for a long time, they called themselves the Anunnaki. Those who took Saturn as their home planet, because Saturn had a necklace around it, which they know as the Anakis, the Anakis, but the Anakis means those of the neck. Now we're the ones who are on the disagreeable side of things. Each one took a planet as their symbol. That's why in ancient Sumer writings, you'll find all the spirits of planets have to be the name of people they call or refer to as their god or descendants. I mean, Inky or Fair, and any questions?
And that their greatest fear was the asteroid belt that was created in between Mercury, Venus, I think, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Jupiter, and Saturn, in between there, the asteroid belt of asteroids moving in the opposite direction. And that was the biggest fear, because that was created by that great working on pieces, the lower part of it, K-Mex. And that they could keep out of control, we would have no problem. So shit was sent to protect this solar system. The message came back that there was no longer in danger of under control, right? And the aggressors, the leather aggressors that came out from K-Mex was eliminated, and forces of the Mardis or the Vulcan was eliminated, and one ship was crashed down with 157. They crashed down running the water. And they went to generate the water. They do mathematics, and they basically mathematics on the distance of the sun and certain other formulas, and it proves by 0, 2, 3, 4, right, times 2, 3, 4, the distance of the sun, that there was definitely another planet that lived between the solar system and has something to do with asteroids, right, and that is the planet Mars or Vulcan called on present day television. The bowl of Genesis 9, that the Elohim made a covenant with Noah with, was our mother. They said, you'll place the bowl, Christmas tree, light it, and give off a rainbow effect, because it hit the crystal, and look for a few things. They will place a bowl in the sky as a covenant for you, because you are perfect in your generation, and that you are a new Adam. For all times of the generation, that bowl was the mother thing. The mother claimed our last homicide. Also called the being commanded by the son of Enki, Merdok. You call that? That was this one. That was this revealing. There was many ships called Nibiru, just like the United States had a ship, and they called it the USA 412, let's say. And that was the United States of America 412. You understand that? Nibiru is a star fleet, a large ship that launches from Risk. Risk is the eighth planet in a three-sun galaxy called Ilium. The Quran refers to it as Ilium. The Torah refers to the deity over it as El Ilium. And even Baal, a descendant from Anu, named in the sun Ilium or Ilium, and he became known as El. If you write the name Babylon, you see that Babylon really says Babylon.
Check it out, bro.
Yeah. Y-L-O-N. Now, you have heard over the years, Babylon, Babylon, of L, and of course, the word Babylon. Draw to L or confusion, right? But today, on this September 8th, 1993, is the first time you're going to hear it being used this way. The door to Ilium, the door to the highest. But in due time, people will start to pick it up the way they did the word history and reverse the word dog backwards with the word God and say, they came up here, they didn't come from me. All right? So when they got down to earth and begin your Bible as Yahweh came down to see what they were doing, you found out
that instead of simply doing what his father and the people of the galaxy call Elohim or Anunnaki, Anunnaki, he is the ancient word for earth. He, but it doesn't mean earth, it means G-O, which is G-E-O, G-O, which is geology, geography, geometry. This is an ancient word from the ancient Sumu, S-U-M-E-R, not S-U-M-M-U-R or A-R, Sumar. And this is not letter. That was way after when those Jews came down to Mecca, 200 of them. This is not Mecca. They came down, poured it right in the way you see they crashed down and set up the land in green dunes. Which is where you get the word Oz for earth, and it means desert. They crashed down the way you see the earth where green rock is right now, falling in Babylon, the doorway to Elul. When they came, the ship was manned and controlled by Indians. After being here, they started to set up earthly empires. And just specifically, they started having sex with earthly women, kings who had descended here, that in their eyes were very beautiful women. But in that day and time, the planet Earth was full of all types of people. Mermaids, which they recently found about them. Bigfoot called Shaggy, which came from the continental Orion. Unicorns. They had all kinds of creatures that came from other galaxies. Some were laboratory experiments, which was put by women here. Some people wanted to get this information. Realize he was walking in the fire. Go back. When the pyramid coming from Elul, look on, there to the left, almost to further, because as it passed the planet, it begins to wallop by explosions or an electrical storm on it. You're electric to the planet, you're going electric today. So it swung off the orbit and it bounced into a planet. It was a part of your galaxy called the Long Night Galaxy. You know there's a planet out there because of the way the planet moves, the way your galaxy moves. Yet there was another planet. It was knocked out of its orbit by the crash of this tremendous ship called the Deep. Right? Running 144,000 feet from Earth. And it's on a launch to find minerals and resources on other not coming from the Earth's atmosphere at times. It has been in Earth's atmosphere thousands of times. What was that Earth yet? With no payment and with first water. Three times that. They have been there many times, but Mars has life. Venus has life. Jupiter has life. And the moon. This ship got on a course against the storm or next. Boston the Vulcan, Sydney Vulcan into asteroids, and the bottom shot off the coming known as the wrong Vulcan. Or the father that is shooting in the water, assuming that this was an attack launched out four ships to attack the ships in the water. Those four ships, manned by four angels, being that we're going, or two of them, would not attack the bay because the bay was set up with four magnetic force fields sitting upon it because of the central movement power of man.
The north wind, I thought it was the south wind, The other, which is the west wing, so east wing is the music. Son, I have this one that already hit and it's broken up. Is the asteroid moving counterclockwise? Why is the asteroid belt in the middle of your solar system moving counterclockwise? Because it's going to be the 30% of the sphere in the planet. Do some research. They let me gain the soul. And I spin this black statement right now. Then I begin to spin as the other wing hits, smash right into it, and back to my body. You follow that? The game went on for 3,000 cycles, getting back to why the plastic got through this. Life form on the desire. Because it's isolated. It's called the one of the die. The family lost out four angelic beings. So the four angels of the four corners of the earth were only beings. In the Bible. And they trapped by the he has been called to man because of the theological, the emotional, the linguistic, all the sciences are from the Greek, the Latin science. Before you, before Earth, you were here one, the big little one. Right? They collapsed and now they form a whole Facebook and the sun, the dead, or two. You refer to as key, not no longer, and that's what we're going to do to people. It's like a crash and break, and then you want to see what happens. Instead of this site, you're going to triangle, you follow, put your head to your leading line in the center. Nice, it's got right in here. The whole pedigree from here to there. Remember?
Yeah, we get you done.
Ship here, a ship there, and a ship there. People listen to this. That's why I put this in a law, put it right there, and that's the right. There, that's the law. That's it. You know
what I mean? That's right.
Place. Follow that? The Bible refers to the four angels and the four corners of the wind. You heard that before? Right? And now you're mathematically over. Next thing was, wind of science because of wobbling movement is in the direct direction with the sun. What will happen? Blow it up. You let go and put the reflecting mirror from the ship and ship to sink upwards and push in the sea. I don't realize you want the most man. And it's right over the opposite pole from where the Hebrew sign pulled the sign to the opposite side. And it's just this. That red and green four ships go back further up and the planet will sink. It's now ready to be monitored again. It's now ready for very Christ coming. We start transporting life from here to be technical. The being here does not have any intelligence and is not able to sustain planet. We have to learn science because we're old on to the diffuse. The atmosphere is going to go bad. The sun will get closer, but we're now scattered up to orbit. Planet is not yet in orbit. They set the planet up. They're body transporting things here. The platoon of ships is once a very profound grand thing. The first and last ship. For what we call the West Wing, these beings here, the Vulcan, got picked up by Miguel and educated by them, reformed, so they showed them screens of the flight and how it happened, how it was not done intentionally. The follow that, and
these men were transported here first and were put in the sea here on this beautiful planet. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Colorado to live in the sea here. The presidency, other black people came, planted germs in the water that would eventually come immediately out of this country. Time to step off the fire spot. Now it all has been set. Well, it goes back a little further. It goes back to the circle and the square. Put the circle in the square, you get the hydrogen and the helium. You take the circle, cut it into four pieces of pie, with one piece of pie, making this piece, the upper right hand piece with your face in it, and it becomes the bottom left hand pie. That's it. Put it down. Vice versa, hydrogen. In the opposite direction, wood. H1, H2. Burn wood. Substance, when it burns, it gives off hydrogen. This was long before this. This happened 93 billion years ago, when the sun oxygen was good. So you know that the tablets, the seven tablets of the Enuma Iliad, were put together about the birth of Lord Jesus. How do we, how the cycle take us? That's why. Because the seven tablets represent the opening of the seven people. I told people that the seven seals were seven scriptures, but the seven scriptures are 15 numbers. And it says, when it is open, no man will be able to know. When this information is revealed, as it becomes open to us, our Abraham's story will never be the same.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it and that He is alone and has no part And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Radio.